Hey folks, I'm pleased to announce that Us and Them has its first sponsor. This podcast is now supported by the West Virginia Gazette-Mail, the largest newspaper in the state of West Virginia, featuring two editorial pages expressing both progressive and conservative views. Find it online at wvgazettemail.com. And now on with the show.
Okay, so I was walking down the street in Portland, Maine, and on this one street corner, there's two guys, and one of them is a street preacher.
Power to overcome by faith, that whosoever believes in him, he is not just the great physician who will give us a
He's great talking about how we all must turn to the path of righteousness. We should turn away from sin and welcome the embrace of Jesus Christ and be saved.
That's Ari Erlbaum, a radio producer from Burlington, Vermont. Oh, and just as a heads up, there's going to be a little bit of language coming up that some might find offensive.
Less than 10 feet from him, there was a man in a wheelchair with this big goofy grin on his face. He was shouting, "Bullshit!"
"Bullshit!" "If you put your hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will be lifted up."
Corey Tracy is the guy shouting bullshit. Corey's an atheist, and apparently he and the preacher meet like this often. When the preacher's out preaching, Corey's out, shouting bullshit, or holding up a sign that reads, "Thank God for atheists."
Corey has a speech impediment, so sometimes it's hard to understand him, but he was really willing to talk.
"If anything's unclear, please feel free to ask again, okay?" He's trying to, like, make people all holy, and I'm just trying to put a smile on their face.
Ari says a lot of people walk by and ignore these two. But every now and again, a car will slow down and honk a horn, or a passerby will stop and shout, "Right on!" Ari says it was encouragement for Corey, but there's no way to really know for sure. It's a noisy scene on this street corner. Corey and the preacher are shouting, but there doesn't seem to be any hostility between them.
I mean, what I thought was really interesting about it is that they're both out there every week coexisting, like, you know, the preacher is doing his job and Corey's doing his job.
And part of the preacher's job is keeping his heart open to Corey.
Well, we love Corey just like we love everybody else. You know, no matter what you do in life, you're going to have somebody that's going to criticize you and tell you it's not the greatest thing in the world. I'm not going to make any type of ill remarks because, like, at the end of the day, we do end up shaking hands, and I look at that as the grace of God.
"Life is too short, and the world is too small to be always bitter with your enemies."
Ari says he used to tune out street preachers. He didn't like how they seemed to grandstand to passersby. But after encountering these two, Ari started to feel some empathy for this preacher.
I, at one point, had a job as a canvasser. I've been in that situation of trying to give people a message where that message is really unwanted. I kind of felt for him just being out there on that street corner and everyone passing him by, and coming from the other side, I could totally feel for Corey too. I agree that the message of "you're going to hell if you don't believe all these things that we're telling you," I think that's a pretty fear-driven way to live.
From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, this is Us and Them. It's the podcast where we explore stories from America's cultural divides. I'm Trey Kaye. I love that scene at the top of the show with the street preacher and the atheist. Two guys sharing space, one trying to convince people that their souls need saving, while the other guy shouts bullshit. And for some reason, they seem to coexist. They're an example of atheists and believers getting along. But something tells me that's unusual in this country.
I think my cousin is an atheist.
I really know only two people who are atheists, and it's my roommate and then another friend of mine, but we never talk about religion or anything.
you know, probably wouldn't be a close friend because we wouldn't have a lot of things in common, I don't think.
It's not that I have anything against atheists. You know, I love them all. I love everyone equally. And I just hope that one day they will come to their senses as to what they're really here on this earth to do.
I just believe they're missing the final piece. You know, you can have 499 pieces of the puzzle, but if you don't have that one more, then you're incomplete.
I've been thinking a lot about atheists lately, especially now that the presidential election is in full gear. It's not uncommon for candidates to reference the Bible, I guess to demonstrate their religious and specifically Christian credentials.
I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I'm a Christian.
Ever since I was a child, I have felt the enveloping support and love of God.
Any president who doesn't begin every day on his knees isn't fit to be commander-in-chief of this country.
Some of my friends are confused when candidates make public declarations of faith. They doubt their sincerity and can't imagine them genuflecting to an invisible deity. But what would they say if a candidate came out as atheist? Well, according to a 2012 Gallup poll, an atheist candidate wouldn't have a chance. The poll shows that when Americans consider a president, they're more likely to vote for an African American, a woman, a Catholic, Jew, or Mormon long before they'd consider voting for an atheist. Corey Cook is a researcher at the University of Washington, Tacoma, and he says atheist is a loaded word.
As soon as you attach a label to somebody, you attach all these ideas that go along with the label, all these symbolic ideas that carry a lot of weight. And I think the idea of an atheist becomes this kind of amorphous, symbolic, almost villain. You have these ideas of no values and no morals and no God, therefore this person can do whatever they want. So it carries ideas of distrust.
Cook conducts research about prejudice, including towards atheists.
I study how stereotypes are transmitted and how that affects the way we think and feel and respond toward other people.
Cook's research on atheists builds on a 2011 study from the University of British Columbia.
So they had a theory about the way people would perceive atheists, and they tested it, and they found that atheists are incredibly distrusted. They were distrusted more than other groups that are stereotypically distrusted, including Muslims. And they were found to be about as trustworthy as rapists.
Wow. What do you think are the psychological roots of this antipathy or fear for atheists?
So this is exactly what I've done in my research on prejudice toward atheists. And so I argued that the reason that atheists are so distrusted is because they threaten our values. We don't believe, or the average person doesn't believe, that an atheist has morals or values, and so they cannot be trusted. They threaten our worldview and they threaten our way of life.
Cook says atheists also threaten the way that we think about death.
As humans, we have this great cognitive ability. We have this advanced neocortex that allows us to think and reflect on our future and on our past. But one of the downsides is that it also allows us to know at any given time that we're, you know, our life is finite, that we're going to die. Christianity, for instance, can help us deal with that existential concern by encouraging us to believe this life may be finite, but we'll live in the hereafter forever.
But atheists don't believe in a hereafter. No pearly gates, no to be continued after death. It's a jarring thought for many believers. To find out what exactly people do believe, social scientists like Cook use something called a mortality salience manipulation.
In a mortality salience manipulation, what you do is you simply give people a piece of paper and you ask them to write the thoughts and feelings that they feel in response to thinking about their own death. Now, what happens is about 5 minutes after that task, you see this change psychologically. Suddenly, people's belief systems matter way, way more to them. You know, whether they're Christian, whether they're Jewish, whether they're American. After mortality salience manipulation, after you increase concern for death, the us matters much, much more for people. and they tend to be much more negative toward anybody they identify as them.
Cook used this technique to study people's perception of atheists. It turns out that thinking about death makes people distrust atheists even more. That finding didn't surprise Cook, but what he learned from his follow-up study did. In the follow-up, Cook wanted to know whether thinking about atheism made people more likely to think about death. They used a technique called a word stem task to figure it out.
So we've all done these in activity books, we've all done these in newspapers and things like that, but basically you're given a word that has a couple of blanks, and you have to fill in the blank.
So for example, if you get the word SK blank LL, it could be skill. But if you're thinking about death, you might be more likely to fill in the blank with a different letter, a U, making the word skull. Another example, COFF blank blank. It could be coffee, or it could be coffin, depending on your state of mind. It turned out thinking about atheism changed people's states of mind. Thinking about atheism actually increased thoughts of death to the same extent as directly considering death. Do you think that the fear or negativity or antipathy that people feel towards atheists, is that a conscious thing or an unconscious thing?
I think it's a little bit of both. But I think that most people are aware of the fact that they have negative attitudes toward atheists. You know, a lot of our attitudes are completely unconscious. So we know through research, again, that even liberal academics who study things like social justice, they still show a preference, sadly, for male scientists over female scientists. The majority of Americans still show an implicit bias for white faces over black faces, and this includes black participants. So those are unconscious processes that people don't want to hold and don't necessarily know that they hold. But I think with atheists, I think it's both unconscious and conscious, as most people know that they distrust atheists.
I feel sorry for them. I mean, they seem lost, and that they don't have a better answer. They don't believe in God because they're bitter.
No, the word I use for them is mental midgets, because if they do their history and be open, honest, and willing to themselves, and just do a little research, it will clearly open their mind and their hearts.
I don't feel like they're thinking outside the box. I think they're just cutting to the chase and saying, oh, there's no God, I don't want to believe in anything. I just want to believe what I want to think. And that's not how the world works.
Now, despite these sentiments, belief in God is not on the rise in America. While Christianity is still the most popular religion, the religious landscape in our country is changing. A recent Pew study found that Americans, especially young Americans, are definitely becoming less religious. Since 2007, the number of people who said they are certain that God exists has decreased 8%. But the number of people who identify as atheists has only increased slightly. So fewer people are religious, but they don't call themselves atheists. Maybe they do believe in God, but they're tired of the whole organized religion thing. Or maybe they don't call themselves atheists because of what other people might think. Cook says it's a legitimate concern for atheists to worry about their social standing.
There's such a pejorative on the term atheist that people would much rather say, well, I'm non-religious, than to self-identify as atheist. Because even among non-believers, the term atheist carries a stigma, carries negative connotations. And people don't want to be associated with that because there are real social repercussions for that.
Take Daryl Lambert, for example, who was kicked out of the Boy Scouts in 2002 for being an atheist. He had earned his Eagle Scout badge and was volunteering as a troop leader. Lambert recently spoke about this on the Canadian podcast Free Thought Radio.
And I got into a brief discussion with our district commissioner, his name was Glenn, about, you know, the definition of reverence and, you know, religious beliefs in Boy Scouts. And he came up with the quote of, you know, an atheist can't be a good citizen, and that made me rather mad, and I ended up walking out on his class. He got rather mad at me and took it up the chain of command, and that's where I got kicked out of Scouts. So it wasn't the parents of the Scouts that were concerned about me being there. It never was the parents. It was always the higher-up leadership in the council.
Lambert says he was told the only way a non-believer could advance in the Boy Scouts was by pretending to believe in God. The council gave him a week, but he couldn't just start believing in God in a week. The Boy Scouts organization bills itself as value-based and believes that, quote, helping youth is key to building more conscientious, responsible, and productive society. In the past 2 years, the organization has changed its values by letting in gay members and leaders. But they still don't allow atheists into the club. Perhaps it's because they believe that if there is no God, there is no right and wrong. There is no morality. But I don't buy that. I just don't agree that without God, and particularly the Judeo-Christian God, there is no morality. Of course, Dr. Cook has his own opinion.
Humans are moral because we're human. That to be human is to be moral. We're social creatures. And I don't think that right or wrong per se is the way to think about it. I think that instead we have norms. We have standards of behavior that we hold one another to because over time, these particular behaviors helped us to survive.
Do you believe in God?
I don't. I would be a nun, a non-believer. I hesitate to answer that question, just to put that out there, because there's always a concern as a researcher that people are going to read your research as though you have an agenda. You know, we set these studies up in an objective way where they can either confirm our predictions or they can disconfirm our predictions, and that's one of the really important things as a scientist and as a social scientist.
So there's the rub. Some people might think that because Cook doesn't believe in God, of course he doesn't think that godlessness is tied to morality. And maybe his studies are even biased. I get that him being an atheist is a red flag. But that Pew study that we mentioned earlier, the one that said that certainty in God is declining, it also asked people how they determined right from wrong. Almost half of atheists said they used common sense. That's also what almost half of all Americans said they used.
Well, how do we know right from wrong? It's a feeling. I mean, you know, you're taught that, you're taught it, you're taught what's right and wrong.
We all feed off of each other, we all mirror each other in some way or another, whether we know it or not. So I think that humans have set a standard for what is right and wrong.
It's kind of like that little voice in your head that's telling you, no, you don't need to do it, or you know you may get in trouble.
My belief in God doesn't shape what I do every day. And it certainly doesn't, you know, if what I think is right or wrong isn't, you know, based on the Bible. It's not based on religion. It's not based on God or what I think will happen to me after.
So you could be a Christian, or you could be an atheist. But the most popular method for determining right from wrong is something most of us share, common sense. I was discussing this the other day with an old friend from high school. This guy is a believer in the God of the Christian Bible, and he thinks that an atheist can be just as moral as a self-described religious person can be amoral. But when I asked him if he'd vote for an atheist for president, he says that he fears a leader who doesn't believe in an authority higher than man. If your leader is an atheist, he asked, where do those rights come from? He said that voting for an atheist was a no-go for him. So what do you think? Can atheists be moral people? Would you vote for a presidential candidate who didn't believe in God? Let us know on Twitter or Facebook, or on the feedback section at usandthempodcast.com. You've been listening to Us and Them. Our show was produced by Whitney Henry Lester and me, Trey Kay. Ibby Caputo edited the program, and Mitch Hanley mixed it. Michael Lipton and Tristan Lozow wrote and performed the Us and Them show music. Mark Lerner designed our logo. Rita Krasoffi and Mariana Trofimova designed our website at usandthempodcast.com and provide us with images for the web. The wonderful people at West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the West Virginia Humanities Council and the CRC Foundation. Next time on Us and Them, many Americans are concerned about horrific things happening in Syria and Western Iraq.
ISIS is hacking, slashing, raping, burning, and murdering their way towards the West. Muslim men slicing the heads off little infant boys and girls. Why? Because those toddlers are not Muslim. The brutality of these monsters is finally waking up a few people.
And after Paris, they're worried about the brutality coming to the U.S.
Well, listen up. Here's a Wild Bill bullet of truth for the free world. ISIS is Islam.
That bullet from Wild Bill and other sentiments like it causes a lot of heartache and hardship for Muslims in America. How do we make sense of the fear and hate? Next time on Us and Them.